Do not buy a business, buy an audience. Hi, I'm Jared Krause. I am the host of the Buying Online Businesses podcast. And today I'm speaking with Tim Stoddart, who is the owner of Stodzy Inc., SoberNation, and CopyBlogger.com. Tim is an influencer and leader in the sobriety and addiction space, where he shares his story from addict to entrepreneur and how he's built multiple income streams and helps people to do the same with his highly successful SEO agency and marketing business. Tim and I had a great chat on the pod, and we talked about so many things. We talked about the path to owning multiple income streams, when to get a secondary income stream or more income streams, when to buy another business or invest in another asset based on where you're at in your life, in your investments, and also just like what's going on in the background, like your life situation with, you know, friends, family, and all that sort of stuff. We also talk about how moving from an operator in your business to being an owner can change the game in terms of building your wealth. We do discuss the acquisition of CopyBlogger and how Tim came to acquire CopyBlogger, what he bought with the assets and all that sort of stuff. We also talk about what he looks for when he is buying businesses, and he has bought multiple businesses. And we talk about not just buying an income, we talk about buying a business, and we share a bunch of philosophies, a lot of my philosophies, a lot of his philosophies, and how our philosophies are based on some of the greatest investors like Uncle Warren. And we talk about, weirdly enough, how to build a business, which is very odd, talking about starting a business and why it's not the company and employees that grow a business, but we talk about who actually grows the business. I don't talk much about starting online businesses or starting a business, but I know so much about it, and I share a little bit in this podcast about that, as does Tim. Now, this is such a refreshing podcast episode. We don't rush into agendas and certain things. We just let the conversation evolve as we're both very present and had a really good talk that I'm sure is going to be super impactful and very insightful for you. So we do talk about buying businesses. So before you go away and listen to this, if you haven't already, get my due diligence framework. It's what I use and my clients use to actually buy businesses. It takes the guesswork out of buying businesses, and we've helped people make millions of dollars and save millions of dollars by using this framework. You can get that by clicking the link in the description to my due diligence framework. Let's dive into the pod. Do you have a website you might want to sell either now or in the future? We have a hungry list of cashed up and trained up buyers that want to buy your content website. If you have a site making over $300 per month and want to sell it, head to buyingonlinebusinesses.co/sell-your-business or email us at info@buyingonlinebusinesses.com, because we will likely have a buyer. Details are in the description. Tim, thank you so much for your time and coming on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invite. And I like your website. I was cruising around on your website a couple hours ago, just trying to prepare a little bit. You got a really cool brand. So it's great to be here.
I appreciate that. As you, with your multiple sites too, when I was cruising around, checking out what you've been up to and where you come from, what you've done. And mate, you must be very proud of yourself.
Thank you. I am. Yeah, it's I'm a pretty humble person. I think it's like a weird thing when you say like I'm more humble than you. You know, I should say I have plenty of people around me that keep me humble and remind me. But you know, every once in a while I'll take a moment to pause and reflect. I wake up pretty early every morning, and so I usually have like an hour and a half of just really early mornings and sit around and be like, you know what, I've come a long way. So it means a lot that you recognize that, and I appreciate
it. You're so welcome. I think reflection is so big. Mm-hmm. I think I learned from one of my mentors that knowledge plus reflection equals wisdom. And where I live in Bali now, and normally every evening I'll go to dinner with somebody. It's a pretty social place. So we'll normally go to dinner and we end up talking about our day and have a lot of reflections. And last night I had some really good reflections and some really beautiful compliments from one of my friends. And I think it's so valuable. He was saying how nice it is to close off his day. And you can start your day like this, like you do, but close off your day sort of reflecting, because there's so much wisdom in that, right? That's where we learn so many golden nuggets.
I agree. I write a blog post every night that no one really knows about. It's kind of just like a little secret. It's not that secret. Some people know about it, but I don't promote it. We'll just say that. And Yeah, that's like my nightly ritual is reflecting on the day through my writing. And I agree. Funny you mentioned Bali. I got a really good friend that lives in Bali, and my wife and I are going to Thailand in January, just because I've been fascinated with Southeast Asia recently and all the cool things that are going on down there. So I hope you're having a blast.
Thank you. Yeah, if you do make it over this way, let me know. Talking about reflection and learning, you talk about multiple income streams, and a lot of people listening want to get to the point where they've replaced their income. And you can do this through many verticals, right? You can do this through acquiring one business. Typically, we teach people to acquire businesses and then just holding on to it and fully focusing on it, right? Like the one thing, kind of like what Gary Keller talks about in his book. Yeah, it's a great book. And I also heard from a wealth creation coach that to grow wealth, we need concentration. To preserve wealth, we need diversification. And that's helped me a lot, because I went the full diversification, and like I bought too many businesses too fast and neglected some. What do you think is too fast to end up having multiple income streams, and how do you explain this to people when you say it's good to have multiple income streams? And I think it is great for diversification, but when's too fast?
Yeah, because we're talking about reflection, and this is something that I've personally been reflecting on a lot. I think multiple income streams is very important, more so now than ever, just because of the long-tailedness of society these days. But I've been trying really, really hard to make sure I continue to get the message across that the vast majority of your money and even your time and your attention, like your focus, is still spent in one place. And so over the last 6 or 7 months or so, I've been adjusting. Well, I shouldn't even say adjusting. I've just been honing my message to make sure that people understand that the cash like has to come from somewhere. And the idea isn't to have like 8 businesses that you manage at the same time. The idea is to make sure that as you make more money, you turn that money into something else that makes more money, right? There's a it's a book, it's almost played out at this point, but when I was like 16, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I grew up a pretty blue collar kid. I'm like a blue collar city kid, and I never knew that money was like a thing that had force and utility within itself, right? I thought it was just a thing you needed to survive. And so that's what, when does it go too fast? When does it go too far? I'm not really sure I have like a specific answer to that question. I think it's one of those things where like, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I know it when I see it. But if there is like a rule of thumb, I think the Pareto principle really does apply, where 80% of everything is still going to come from 20%. So whatever that 20% is, you have to keep that your focus. And then it's the leftovers that you generate from your cash flowing business or businesses once you get to that point. That's really what you're using. You're not like constantly scraping the barrel just to buy like another small business. That doesn't make any sense. At least it doesn't make any sense for me. And so my idea and the refining of what I've done and therefore have been writing about is that you still need a cash cow. You need something that produces revenue, puts cash money in the bank account, and then you have options to make other moves with your money.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with the having a cash cow and focusing on that cash cow first and making sure that you do the Pareto principle with that and you're focusing on that and getting the great results. And then when you get to a point that I believe is like you've got some systems team and some processes put in place where it's growing without too much input from yourself, and that could be a business or another asset, then you can start to take a little bit of money out of that cash cow away from, because you can always reinvest back into your cash cow, right? One of my friends was like, you know, I was looking at investing in property years ago and said, you know, do you invest in property or business? And he said, only business, only put it back into your business, which I think there's a certain time for that. And then there's a certain time that, and it's, I guess it's a feeling and a sense, and it depends on every single person, because we can talk about investing and be very logical and analytical about it, but people have like kids. Some people have kids and a family and other people to support and different things going on in their life outside of just the investing and what we're talking about here. So it's going to be different for everyone. And then I think that's a really good time to then start when you are ready, where you're in your life, the situation of your life plus the situation of your asset, then when you can take money out of it and you've got this self-fulfilling business or asset that doesn't need too much of your time, then you can start investing into something else. And when you say multiple income streams, are you talking about like, do you have multiple income streams in just online businesses, or do you take money outside of online business, invest into other things as well?
Yeah, another great question and just topic to think about. So I want to agree with so much of what you said, because I think this gets to a little bit of like semantics, but it, in my head, it's how I organize everything. I'm not saying that these definitions are like are perfect, so don't like fact check me on it. But I see a difference between a business and an asset. I think that one person can only really run one business. Running a business is no joke. It really isn't. It's just you think about it all the time. It's all you think about if you're doing it right, in my view. And so, you know, you say buy businesses, buy companies, and sure, this is where it gets to the semantics place, because like, yes, technically I have bought other businesses, but I don't operate multiple businesses. No way. I mean, I play a coach and a mentor in some aspects. Sometimes my job is just the, I don't even know what I would call it, like task manager. I mean, every single morning, I told you I wake up early. I start every day by recording Loom videos and assigning tasks on Todoist. And, you know, the rest of it just kind of takes care of itself. And so I like to think of it as buying assets. And it's not that cut and dry, because when you have online companies, like sometimes you have to rebuild it. Sometimes you have to restructure a website. Sometimes you got to fire people and hire people and all of that stuff. So it's not to say that it's always so cut and dry, but my goal at any case is to completely remove myself. And I think that's just kind of like a weird accidental skill set that I fell into. I've read a ton of books about it, and I think I just got lucky that I recognized early that there's a difference between like owning a business and operating a business, and you don't actually have to do both at the same time. And so, yeah, I mean, we can definitely talk about that more, but I also want to answer your question, right? So here's the third definition. We're talking about owning a business, we're talking about owning assets, and then we're talking about investing. And sure, all of those things are kind of the same thing, but in my mind, investing is simply putting money into something where that thing should grow in the future. And it's not day trading. Like, I don't trade stocks. I don't think I've sold a single, maybe I have. I can't think of any stocks that I've sold. Maybe like during COVID, I flipped a stock one day because I was bored. But no, like, I invest in the S&P 500. Basically, that's it. I think I have like 3 or 4% in like some real estate REITs. And I bought a house in Nashville, and kind of like my philosophy when we lived in Nashville, the rates were really low. And so we wanted to leave Nashville, and we live in Denver now. And so we rent our house in Denver, and just that investing philosophy, you know, the house like doubled in value because everything doubled in value with COVID, with the real estate market. But the way I think about it, like, no, what am I going to do with that cash? I'm not going to do anything with it. I might as well just turn it into an investment. And so now I have a rental property in Nashville, but same thing. Like, I don't even know what's going on with the house, really. I get an email once a month from the property manager. And so it's like that's investing in my mind, right? So I know I just sort of made up some phrases and some definitions, but I really do think of those three things differently. I think of owning a business a little bit differently than like owning an online business that's an asset. And the difference is like somebody operates it for me. And then, you know, there's investing, which in my mind is either like stocks or bonds or like long-term real estate, or I mean, I guess you could say Bitcoin, but I'm going to stay away from that one.
We'll keep that. We'll keep that for another discussion or another time, or not at all, totally. Actually. Yeah. It's the way I hear you talk about it is investing in something that can be completely passive for you versus owning and operating online business is active income versus completely passive income. And you can have multiple variations of active income into semi-passive to full passive when you like, when you say you work yourself out of the business. It's a great book for people to read called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, which is what you're talking about, Tim, around the difference between being an operator and being an owner of the business. And it's a huge difference, and it's an absolute life changer if you understand the two and move from being an operator to an owner. And I think it's just a really, I just like to bring it up for a topic of discussion because you talk about multiple income streams, and I have multiple income streams, and I don't talk too much about it on the podcast, but most people are here to replace their income. And I believe it's a really good route to, like, number one, buy, acquire an online business, grow it, learn it, and use that skill to continue to grow it until you can work yourself out of the business, at least maybe a little bit, maybe a bit more semi-passive, or you're full operator. But then you can also take some funds and invest into something that's passive, because it can be a shiny object syndrome if you go, for example, to have your online business and then you go, I'm going to start day trading for another income stream. Is you're taking something away from, you're taking your time, energy, and effort away from the online business that you own, which can be super dangerous, right? Neglect. Yeah. Yeah. So such a good conversation to start the podcast off. And I want to talk about, you know, you help people, you guys help people scale their online businesses, and you know, a lot of people when they're first purchasing a business is typically they'll go and buy a content business, media business, a blog, and want to gain organic traffic. And you guys have a really cool case study with DCP where you're able to triple their revenue. How? The simple way to ask that question is how? You know, what were some of the things that you did? Like, if you just talk us through the experience of like how they came to you, and then the whole journey, I guess, of like some of the, you know, we don't need to go into too crazy detail in terms of their own IP and stuff, but it'd be cool to just get a general overview for people.
So this is going to be funny because it's almost an exact example, but we can go into as much detail as you want because I'm a partial owner of the company. So there's a website called CopyBlogger that I bought that meant a lot to me. It was a big source of my education as I was teaching myself how to write online. It's a really like legendary website. I know newbies these days who came up on TikTok won't know about CopyBlogger, but it's a big deal. Yeah, totally. And so I bought that website, and what was strange about CopyBlogger was that it didn't have any revenue attached to it. Like, there was no money. It was just a blog. It was just traffic with an email list. And there were like some other websites as well that I bought with it. But the deal was really three domains and the RSS feed for the podcast. One of those domains was copyblogger.com. One of those domains was rainmaker.fm, which is like an old podcast network, which I'm still trying to figure out something to do with it. And then the third one was digitalcommerce.com. So the way it worked is that digitalcommerce.com was where they housed all of their like courses, all their online products. And they sold off all of the assets, all of the actual products. And there was a bunch of products attached to it. There was one called StudioPress, which was like an old WordPress theme store. It was probably the most successful like WordPress theme store of all time. There was Digital Commerce, which was like online courses. And they had like a hosting company. What the hell is their hosting company called? Synthesis. That's what it was called. And so they sold all of those things. And all that was left was Copyblogger, right? Well, and I mean, they sold the products off of digitalcommerce.com, but I still owned the domain. When I made the deal, I bought the website. So here I am. I just spent a ton of money on this website that generates no money at all. You know, I had like a really big email list, and what the hell was I going to do? And this is like a topic for another day, but this is one of the reasons why I think podcasting is so valuable, because I had a podcast, which is now the Copyblogger podcast. I just rebranded it once I bought the company. But before that, I just had a personal podcast, and I would just reach out to like my heroes, basically people that nobody knew about that I followed that like taught me all of this stuff. And one of those guys' names was Johnny Naster. And Johnny Naster owned like a pretty boutique but super profitable SEO agency in Montreal. And he had this podcast called Hack the Entrepreneur that, you know, 10 years ago when I was driving to my office every day, I would listen to his podcast. He was just a guy that meant a lot to me. And so Johnny came on my podcast. I got to talk to him. I got to build a relationship with him. And that was cool enough within itself. So finally, I do this deal and I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to do now? Like, I have no way to make money from this website. And I own an agency. I've been in the agency space for a long time, and I knew Johnny was in the agency space. And I just thought, the first thing I thought to myself is, you know what? I can turn this traffic into clients. I can turn this traffic into content marketing clients. And so I was just like, hey, Johnny, like, you want to give me 40... Well, you want to give me a big chunk of your business, and in exchange, like, I'll just flood us with as many leads and deals as possible, and like, you can operate it, and I'll just turn Copyblogger into a lead gen site, basically, and that's what we did. So we made it happen, and it's been a great relationship. I mean, Copyblogger within itself has generated a ton of business for us. It's really great because it's kind of a self-sustaining prophecy where people know we know what we're doing simply because like of how successful Copyblogger is and the organic traffic that it gets. And also like what I've done with the site over the last 2.5 years. And yeah, I think we're at, I don't know, like 110,000 a year now, or 110,000 a month now, which might not sound like a lot to some people, but you know, building a business in under 2 years to over $1 million a year, I think is pretty cool if you ask me. And yeah, it's been just so like, you know, that whole story is kind of like a little microcosm of what I'm talking about, right? Like, I had money, I used the money to buy something. It was kind of like a sprint to clean stuff up. And the sprint is sort of on like my off time, you know, because I can't take my eye too far off the ball of what I do for Stadzi every day. And, you know, you make some deals, you make some partnerships, you put some pieces together, you find some writers, you find some operators, and now it's just crushing it, but takes very little of my time.
Congratulations. It's so cool. I did not know that Copyblogger didn't make money for that longer time. When did Copyblogger start? Like, when did the domain get registered, I guess?
Well, 20 years ago is when the domain got registered. But like, it was smart. I mean, Clark, the guy that I partnered with, the original founder of Copyblogger, and I eventually bought him out to be a full owner of it, he just got it. He knew that the content within itself was different than the products, because back then, I mean, it sounds like it wasn't that long ago. It was only 15 years ago, but it wasn't the same as it is now. If you had a website, you were monetizing it by selling ads against your traffic. I mean, it was just what you did. And he really was one of the pioneers of like, there's no reason to do that. the content isn't actually a revenue source. The content is like the authority source. Like you build your reputation through your content, and then, you know, through your email list, you can sell your products, you can sell your services, which I guess you can have it on the same domain. Plenty of people do. It's just, he just saw it differently as like different pieces of the puzzle coming together. And so all of those assets, like I said, got sold off, which was part of the reason why Copyblogger itself, copyblogger.com, like the media asset, was available. And I'm a pretty good SEO. I've been doing SEO for a long time, and I just knew the power of that website from like an organic traffic standpoint. And so, I mean, it was a stupid thing to do. I honestly wouldn't recommend anybody do it, but I don't know. I just knew. I was like, I can turn this thing into something. So I just went for it.
I disagree. I think it was a great thing to do. Like having an asset of content that is so valuable with so much authority that has not yet been monetized is just like when you told me that it wasn't making money and you bought it, and I just in my head I was like, cha-ching, like this is you're going to take people from loving Copyblogger to the next level in their business, and you're going to get rewarded for doing so in terms of they love the authority that's been built through the content. And there might be a lot of people, and I dare say there was, and you know, $1 million worth of, you know, per year of people that are like, I've learned so much, but can you do it for me? take me to the next level in my business, in my content business. And there's so many threads I want to pull on in terms of the acquisition, but we'll come back to that. What's top of mind for me is what you said about the content. He had not yet monetized the business, and the content in itself was the authority. And I know that most people that get into this space of starting a blog and trying to make money online through a blog are chasing the money too early and putting out content that is not actually building authority and building brand value and trust. Have you noticed that as well?
I think so. I'll tell you where I've noticed it, and this will sound like a humble brag. I really don't mean it to be. It's just what's happened. I've turned blogs into real like dollars in the bank account, and I've never known how I was going to make money from something when I started it. And again, that sounds like a kind of dumb thing. Like, what do you mean? You have no business plan? I was like, nope. I'm always most interested in the industry first. And if there's like, if it's open, basically, it's one of the reasons why I really like healthcare, especially like new age healthcare, like behavioral health and health tech and even things like stem cells. Just because there's everybody in the world is, you know, writing about AI and is writing about the creator economy. And that's all cool. If you're passionate about that, go for it. But I'm excited about things that have real, real substantive value behind them. And healthcare definitely fits that bill. And so I tell you that whole backstory just to say that, like, with Sober Nation, which is one of my websites, I didn't know how it was going to monetize. I just started with a blog. I was really just writing about my journey. I was like, I know that this will turn into something. I don't know how. And, you know, I built myself into like a real big authority in this like niche healthcare sobriety space. I'm building another newsletter right now called The Census. That is, really it's about like investments and deals in these kind of behavioral healthcare spaces that I'm talking about. I would think of it a little similar to like Bloomberg, but just really, really specific to this like sub healthcare industry. I mean, with Copyblogger, I had to turn that thing into a newsletter, and I just focused on writing. There's other examples as well. The point I'm trying to make is that, yes, people try to monetize too early, and I don't have like specific examples where like I see it and I'm like, oh, you're making a mistake. I've just had a lot of people come to me and say, like, you know what? I was at this conference one time, I'll never forget it. And this girl came up to me. She's like, how did you do it? How did you do it? I was like, well, I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I wrote articles like every day for like 6 years, and I engaged on the Facebook page. And I remember her just kind of staring at me. She's like, so like, you have no trick. And I was actually thinking about that. Like, no, like I have no trick. I have nothing good to tell you. Like I have nothing that you can take away. I just saw an opening in something that I thought a lot of people were interested in. And I wrote about it until I couldn't be ignored. And then when you get to that place, it's pretty easy to make money, honestly. Like, as long as you're patient and you create a product that people actually give a shit about, or like you have a service that is really, really going to help people, it's like pretty freaking easy. It's just, it's backwards than what most people think. Most people are like, oh, you got to build a product and then sell it. And that just never made sense to me. It's like, why am I going to build something that I don't even know if anybody wants to buy? Whereas the other way is like, let me get a whole bunch of people that want to buy from me, and then they'll tell me what they want to buy. They will literally tell me what they want to buy, and then I'll just make it. And that's
absolutely
how I've done it.
Absolutely. If anything, if you wanted to call what you did a trick, is what I see what you did is you just showed up. You just showed up in a space and just added an insane amount of value and did it for a certain amount of years. And this is, I don't teach people to start businesses, right? I teach people to buy businesses, because I think you can buy great, great businesses and grow them by building not just just better content, but a better brand. And I have, on the side and with friends and family and stuff like that, like a lot of people come to me outside of like work, based on the authority that I built in building businesses and growing businesses, asking me about starting businesses. And they are trying to find the $1 million idea, or the, like you said, the product or service. But it is, in my opinion, pretty backwards, because I don't think a business grows or is built based on the product in itself. I think the people that build a business is not the actual team and or the company. What builds the business is the customers and the audience. And how a company grows is by listening to that audience and giving them what they want, not giving people what they think they need based on what the company believes. And so if you understand that, why would you not just put out content out there and just do it for free and then build an audience and then just send out a form and say, what are your biggest fears, frustrations, needs, and desires? Like, how can I help you? I'll build something that's going to change your life. And they'll tell you exactly what it is. Now, even like, you can even ask prices, how much would you spend on this in a range? Like, it'll tell you exactly what your product needs to be if you're going to start a business in that way. And the beautiful thing about it is you're building so much trust. People buy based off trust, right? So you're building so much trust. By the time a product comes out, they're like, they are drooling for you to help them. And that's what I think you've done with Copyblogger. Is like, they've been so keen and you've got so much trust there, and you just go, let's take you to the next level. It's just a huge win for everyone.
Well, you just said it. It's a win for everyone. Those are the things I like to be a part of. Like, everybody wins. I never have to like push something on somebody like, oh, just buy this. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. Like, I don't care if you buy it, but you care if you buy it. Because you've already been following me and my ideas and what I have to say for as long as you have. I mean, it was an interesting thing that you said there. And I guess it never really dawned on me at this point, where I'm just realizing, like, I've never actually bought a company. I've bought a lot of distribution. I think that's what I've done a few times. It really just dawned on me, like, I've never bought a single company that was already cash flowing. Like, I've invested in cash flowing companies, but in terms of me, the three like brands that I've bought weren't that. I was buying the distribution first. I was buying the audience first, and I was like getting myself connected into them, into that ecosystem, until eventually the answers were like, kind of come to me. I don't know. Like, I didn't go to school for any of this. I don't have any degrees. I just love doing this, and I tinker around a lot until the point where I feel like I know what I'm doing.
That's beautiful. Like, I just think, or I feel that, like, I want to pull on that thread of buying distribution, buying an audience, because that's not something that we talk about typically when we're buying a business. It's normally like most people, like, I want to get my ROI back, and I want to know how much I'm going to spend and what I'm going to get back in terms of like monthly net profit and how long will it take me to get my money back, which is a smart and a wise thing to do. At the same time, you can do that and purchase a business or a distribution network or an audience and add even more value to it. In terms of, like, a lot of people want to buy based on opportunity. I don't like to buy just based on opportunity alone, because everything's got infinite opportunity. What I do is I like to tell people to understand the risks, understand how to decrease those risks, which are growth opportunities in themselves. At the same time, there can be a business that has an email list that is an audience that's not monetized, or a whole blog that is an audience that's not yet monetized. And I think it's a really good strategy to purchase an audience like that, which is a business, which you can just purchase an audience and turn it into a business like what you've done. So my question to you is, how did you identify what distribution networks or audiences to purchase to turn into, and I'm sure that you had some intuition that you'll buy this and eventually it will turn into an ROI, right? Otherwise, I mean, maybe it was that you're just super passionate about the space at the same time as well, but how did you go about, like, what were some of the metrics or things that you thought about in thinking about, like, this will be a good investment, this is worth me buying? What went through your head with those?
Yeah, I make basically all of my decisions based off of Uncle Warren. I'm so sorry it's dark in here. If people are watching the video, by the way, it's the sun's going down. I live in Denver. So I keep thinking, like, is there a lamp around me? And there's not. So you're just going to have to deal with my dark screen. But yeah, Uncle Warren, he, and also Charlie Munger a lot, who, you know, died yesterday night. It's November 29th. He died yesterday, which was kind of weird to be talking about him right now, because he has this phrase where, like, it's much better to not be stupid than it is to be smart. And he's so true. Like, he's so right about that. And here's my philosophy on it. And this will sound a little bit heady, but it'll come full circle. It's so much easier to lose everything all at once than it is to gain everything all at once. And in a lot of instances, like, you can have big wins and then not it feel like a big win because you can lose it so fast. Like, the margin for error for loss is totally reverse correlated than it is for success. So a lot of my thinking is really based on, like, how do I not lose stuff? And there's also practical elements to that. You know, like Warren Buffett will say, the first two rules of his investing thesis is never lose money. And there's actually a reason, like, yeah, losing money sucks, but it's not just that you lost money. It's you lost the money that money could make, would have made, you know, just over compounding. And so in a lot of cases, that's why, you know, passive just S&P 500 investing is so valuable, because it might take 50 years, but, like, it will, well, nothing's guaranteed, but all the evidence has shown that it will get to a point where one day you'll wake up and it'll just go straight up, right? And so if you're patient enough, it'll work, it'll happen. And so all of that is to come full circle, where I think I like to use that same methodology, but in terms of the assets, where I won't put my money into anything as an investment, especially in other people, unless it's already cash flowing. I just won't do it. I'm not an angel investor. I think angel investing is, like, pretty stupid, actually. I think angel investing is more marketing than it is, like, business. Most of it is just, you know, let me, like, market my company to the point where I can take enough shots to where like the law of probability will just ensure that like one of them will pay off really, really big, which is all angel investing is really. It's just guessing that something will like 1,000x, and sometimes it pays off. But I don't think angel investing and like hedge fund investing, those aren't actual good things to do. Like they
doesn't
don't
feel work. Very wholesome. It's just marketing. It's a numbers game over a game building something real.
Yeah. And yeah. I like building real things for sure. Mm. And I like to look at those real things on really it's only two criteria. It's is this cash flow positive and is this evergreen? Basically, like, does it make a profit? Even if that profit is like $1, you know, if the thing isn't losing money, that's good. And is this in an industry that will stick around for 10 years? Because that $1 a month turns into $2 a month, turns into $4 a month. And then, you know, that compounding kicks in to the point where all of a sudden, $1,000 a month is $2,000 a month is $4,000 a month is $8,000. And then all of a sudden, it's like, holy shit, like, we're making money. And that's how I like to think about it, really, where it's not like I'm not too much into numbers, truthfully. I'm into like the health of a business, the health of an industry. And yeah, like it's just Warren Buffett really, really taught me that, because Warren Buffett buys public businesses. And so like a lot of people think of him as a public stock investor, but like he wouldn't think of himself that way. He's like, no, like I don't buy stock. I'm not a stock trader. I buy businesses. It just so happens that the businesses that I buy are on the public markets. But all of his philosophy is built on the fact, like, is this business itself healthy? Are there good operators? Are there decent margins? Is there like longevity in the business? And that's just how I think about it, man. I don't muck it up by trying to be smart. You know, I really try to look at it like, why wouldn't I do this? What are all of the reasons why this is a dumb idea? And if I can't find too many, then I just do it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This is what I teach, is I teach people to prove the business is a bad investment. And if you can't, then you must buy. And what I hear from you is a lot of like what I like as well. A lot of what I teach are philosophies, some philosophies from Warren Buffett as well, in terms of like acquiring businesses. And what I hear from you is that you are interested in the long game and you like to play the long game. And with that, you said before that you haven't really sold many assets. I mean, through COVID, you may have sold something. And it's the same with Warren Buffett, just buys and holds. And because of what you talked about before is the compounding. And I guess through this podcast, what we're actually hopefully doing is deconditioning people believing they need to go for the money grab too fast. Because there are people that do want to buy a business, grow it after a year, and then sell it. But the work that you've done in a year, you may not realize the results that you've done from that year until year number three or four. And you, like you said, when you are losing investment dollars, you're not just losing the initial money, you're losing the potential gains that I could have had in the compounding future, right? Which I think is a really cool thing for people to understand.
I'm into not doing a lot for my money. Like I work really, really hard. I'm a really hard worker and like I don't know what to do with myself. So if left to my own devices, I would just find something to work on. But you know, I guess you just learn these things as you get older. I'm 37 now. I know I still dress like I'm like a kid on a skateboard, but like making a bunch of money all at once doesn't change your life that much. You know, in fact, in a lot of ways, it's the worst thing that can happen because you make a bunch of money all at once and then you spend it on things that like aren't conducive to your future. And so it is about the long game for sure, but it's even simpler than that, because when you focus on things that just grow your wealth without a whole lot of effort, then you kind of get to a point where your wealth generation isn't conducive to your hard work. And that's like what I'm going for, because I'll work hard always. Like I said, I'm from Philly. Like, I don't know. I'm Scottish. I just wouldn't know what to do with myself. Like I'll just work on something no matter what. But it's not, and you have to work hard in the beginning. You just have to. There's no other way to do it. And you probably have to work hard the whole way through. But this is back to that first conversation. Like, if you're building an actual company yourself, like, you have to work hard on it. If you have like a vision and like a thing that you want to achieve, you have to smash your head through the wall a little bit. But generating wealth doesn't actually require hard work. It just requires not making stupid decisions, because the markets grow. Like, they grow on their own. You can just kind of do nothing, and if you don't spend the money and you let it grow, it'll just grow. And so that's really a lot more along the lines of how I think about it.
Absolutely. That's just the way the world works, right? Is like, if you put your money into the world, into the economy is going to grow. It's always going to grow. Just be patient and sit with it. I think it's a really good, really good investment philosophy and theory. Tim, this has been so good. I want to be respectful of your time and just, I'm so grateful to come on, have you come on and share your story, acquisitions, what you've learned about investing, building wealth. It's been a delight. So thanks for coming on. Where can we send people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Thank you so much, Jed. Really appreciate it. My personal website, I write a newsletter every week, timstodz.com, TIMSTODZ, just like my name, timstodz.com. That's where I send everybody. My newsletter is, it's pretty damn good, I think. I work really hard on it. And most Tuesdays when I send it out, I think to myself, you know what, if I got that, like, I would read that whole thing. So I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, I've replied to every reply to my email. I respond to everybody that replies to my newsletter. So I hope to see you on there.
You on the next one.
Hey, YouTube watcher. If you thought that video is good, you should check out this video here on the two best types of websites beginners should buy. Or check out my playlist on how I made my first 100K from buying websites and how to do due diligence. Check it out. It's an awesome playlist. You'll enjoy it.